there's going to be a lot of other things that the flesh could want to do, and you're going to be carried away with the world. But we have to do what? Destroy Moab. This is, we all entitled this one, Destroying Moab. Moab being a type of the flesh. Moab being a type of the flesh, that carnal part of us, that fleshly man. We know flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. We know that that's true. Coming from the book of Ezekiel this morning, the 25th chapter of Ezekiel, 8 through 11 verses, says, "Thus says the Lord God, because Moab says, as does Seir, which is Edom, behold, the house of Judah is like all the other heathen nations. Therefore, behold, I will lay open the flank of Moab from the cities, from its cities on its frontiers and in every quarter. The glory of the country, Beth-Shemesh, Beth-Meon, Meag, and Carathaim. I will give it along with the children of Ammon to the people of the east for a possession, that it and the children of Ammon may not be any more seriously remembered among the nations. And I will execute judgments and punishments on Moab, upon Moab, and they shall know and understand and realize that I am the Lord God, the sovereign one, who calls forth loyalty and obedience." He's going to destroy our Moabs. Moab was a type of the flesh, I said, that which is destructive, that which corrupts, that which is easy to corrupt you, that which is sensual, that which is fleshly. Moab originated from Lot. We said that was the result of the relationship that Lot had with his daughters, and that she gave birth to two sons. One daughter gave birth to Moab, the other is Ammon, and that's why he was saying the people of Ammon. So that being so, that made them close kin to Abraham. That was Abraham's nephew. So those were cousins. Those were people just like we have relatives and things in our family that's close kin. And a lot of times, that's why I say it's your own flesh, it's your own people sometimes that kind of rise up against you and ridicule you. They'll say, "Well, your religion ain't no more than anyone else. You just like everybody else." They try to normalize you, and we want to know, how did we get so different if we all of one Father? We all of one faith. One Lord and one baptism. But you see, the Lot was worldly. Lot chose to go to the green plains of Sodom. Lot was a person that was fooled by his eyes. See, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. He walked by what he seen. And being a grass cutter, Brother Parker, no, grass kind of differs in different places and everything according to what kind of grass. In St. Augustine, if you look at it, it's pretty real good grass and everything. But no matter how you look at grass, and you can't make that determination about that grass till you standing in that particular field or that pasture. The grass is always green on the other side. It's always somebody else's better, but you can't see the brown patches and everything that's wrong with the grass until you've left where you are. Lot didn't realize how Sodom was till he got inside. That it had all kinds of carnal things going on, and he almost lost his soul inside of it. He almost lost his life. And we'll lose our world. Going into the world, mixing up with the world, we lose our identity. That's what the Sabbath does. The Sabbath gives us an identity. It established that we serve the Creator, the God of the universe, who created heaven and all the things under heaven. That's everything. And He had created, and He said, "I want you to rest this day and remember this. Make this a memorial, and you'll know that I did this, and you'll keep in touch." But apparently when Lot got to Sodom, those people didn't worship on the Lord's day. They didn't worship on that day. That's how they got far away. That's why I was wondering, if Lot was with Abraham and Abraham served God, Lot didn't continue learning what he had learned with Abraham. See, a lot of time our children, our relatives get out and they're born in the country. We from Clinton, we from Baker, we from Zachary, or we from Port Allen or somewhere. But we get in the big city, we get in Baton Rouge, we get into the metro area, we want to be cool, we want to be like everybody else and do like they're doing. We forget where we come from. The Lord don't want you to forget where you come from. And see, when he forgot where he came from, now his children gave birth to other children, and now cousins and relatives fighting one another. You know, you get together at a lot of family reunions and everything. You know, we have a lot of fighting and shooting and looking at each other and not knowing that we one man's children. God is our Father, all our Father. We kindred. We shouldn't be doing like this, rising up against one another. But since we didn't get stay in contact with the same God, we operating under different rules. We operate in different ways, and we don't know the standards of how we should behave. Our flesh then ran up. We prideful, we lustful, we corruptible. And the Moabites were seductive. The Moabites seduced Israel into committing sin. You know, a lot of times people can't get you to cross God by disobeying his law, but they'll break you down over a period of time. They'll seduce you. And Balaam couldn't curse the children of Israel. Moab had hired Balak to curse the children of Israel, but he couldn't curse them because who God blessed, he had blessed. That's why you don't worry about if your uncles or your brothers, your cousins, whoever that may be that's in the flesh, talk about you, because they can't curse you. They can't do you anything. They will have to give account for what they do. But you can if you serve in your Father. If you then came to the church and prepared to work with God, you can do what he say do. You can treat them the same way that Jesus treated the people. He says, they're hungry, you feed them. And when they talk about you, you pray for them. Bless and don't curse. You don't have to show who you is. You have to show who the God is you serve. You have to follow his way. See, that's why it breaks down to arguing and at the family get together, you go to arguing and fussing and going on. But if you're a child of God, you wouldn't even dispute. A child of God has learned that you have to follow peace as much as possible with all men. And a servant of God shouldn't strive. We know thou shalt not kill. We shouldn't lay hands suddenly on no man. We shouldn't do all these things. See, we have to keep that mind in God. Our mind has to be thrown. Every thought has to be brought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. But if you will look along, starting with Adam and Eve, ever since the beginning, man has been breaking down for man. He break down for money. He break down for women. It says, when the sons of men seen the daughters of the sons of God seen the daughters of men, they went into them and married to them, that relationship. God tells us not to be unequally yoked. Solomon went against God, told him two or three times in a dream, Solomon, these women will draw your hearts away from me. But he married Moabites. He married all types of strange women, and they drew him away from God. Don't let your wife, don't let your job, don't let nothing draw you away from God. Whatever you put before God, you're a Moabite. You're not in Christ. That mind of God is not in you because you start to serve another God. You don't want to serve those other gods. There's a trap to that. David's great-grandmother was a Moabite. So you don't have to remain a Moabite. You don't have to remain carnal. You don't have to remain in the flesh. You can change. Ruth, the Moabitess, David was born in that line. And I talked about Ruth Wednesday night. In that Ruth forsook her people. It was two daughters, Orpha and Ruth. But Ruth clung to Naomi and said, where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. So she was leaving her family. Sometimes you have to leave your family. He told Abraham, say, Abraham, leave your family. Leave your family because they were moon worshippers and star worshippers. If you read Genesis, Abraham and the Ur of Chaldeans, and the reason he had so much problems, his daddy was a little bit older and he took his daddy with him. And he took Lot with him. But he didn't follow God. God had told him to leave your family. Well, he couldn't do for Abraham what he wanted to do for Abraham till after Abraham's daddy was dead, because Abraham was going to be obedient to his daddy and his daddy was going to be in charge. Sometime you have to get from under your people. That's why he say a man shall, when he get ready to get married and a woman get married, say, you shall leave your mother and father and cleave unto your husband or wife. See, because he's making you a house. He's making you a new start. He's giving you a new start that you're responsible for. Each man in here, each woman that's not married in here that has a household, you's in charge of that household. God's going to make you give account for what's going on in that household. You can't be fleshly. You have to stand, because you have to give account to God for what's happening in that household. That's how God has that. David was a Moabite. David knew about his people. But it's come a time, if you read 2 Samuel, the 8th chapter of 2 Samuel, you'll see where David went in and conquered the Moabites. That was his kin people. He took, when he was on the run from Absalom, he took and placed his family with his grandparents in Moab. But when he got ready to destroy Moab, he destroyed two-thirds of Moab. Two-thirds of that country, he's measured out in a line. He saved one-third. You know, God always saves a remnant. May not be all, everybody in the church will be saved. May not, everybody in the world is not going to be. God works with the remnant. That small part that's obedient unto God. See, but you have to know, by, as Brother Parker said earlier, by walking with God in the preparation period here, you see a whole lot of things going on, and God showing and leading and guiding you so you'll know how to walk in heaven. Because if you can't walk down here, you're not going to be able to walk in heaven. It's a prepared place for prepared people. So we have to get ready here. We have to crucify the flesh. That's our Moab, it's our flesh. Our body is carnal, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So my first point would be forsaking the old man. Just like Ruth had to forsake her family, leave Moab to come to Bethlehem, to come to Jerusalem, to go back to Jerusalem where there was bread, she had to leave that behind. Christ said, take up your cross. You have to deny yourself. You have to leave all that stuff and take up your cross and follow after him. A cross is a symbol of crucifixion, you know. And when we say crucify, it's a symbol of that cross. In other words, where you, a place where you put the death at. You have to put to the death your desires and your needs. What you want. How you live it. It is not about you anymore. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. That's why Romans, we was reading that to open it up. It says, I beseech you by God that you therefore present your body as a living sacrifice. That's the sacrifice God wants. He wants your life. He looks for a life. He's not looking for bulls and goats and whatever. Give him your life. Give him your life. You died to self. Paul said, I die daily. So you have to die to the desires and the things of this world. We must forsake self. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, 5th through the 8th verse, it reads as such as this. This is what Paul's saying about the old man. He says, so kill, deaden, or deprive of power. Well, that's also we can use for destruction. It's to deprive something of power, to destroy it, to take away from it. Deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members. It's those animal impulses and all that is in earthly, that is earthly in you. All that's employed in the faculties of sin. That sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that is idolatry. The deifying of self and other created things instead of God. Those are fleshly lust. That's why Jesus said, he who looketh after a woman, the lust after her, have committed adultery in his heart. You have to get that out your eyes, out your sight. You have to make a covenant with your eyes that you won't look after a woman to lust after her. You can't go around full of lust. You can't go around wanting everything There's too much greed in life. You know, everything you see, you want it. That's why it's not good to watch too much television. Because those advertisements is set up to make you want everything that you see. A lot of times me and women watch the romance stories and everything. They go stop loving their wife because they want their wife or their husband to act like that person on television is doing. They want them to look like that after a certain number of years. They think that's what love is. A lot of the guys go to the movie theaters and see these pictures with a guy doing all this. It's really not reality. That's theater. That's not how life is. And we get a false view of how life is. God wants us to walk by faith and walk in reality. See, this world is not real. This is not our home. We just passing here. We're here temporarily. We like that flower. We're going to fade away one of these days. We're corruptible. We got corruptible flesh. But this corruptible has to put on incorruption. That's why we're Moab. We have to crucify that flesh. We have to put off the old man. He says, among whom you once walked when you were living and addicted to such practices. But now put away and rid yourself completely of all these things. Anger, rage, bad feelings toward others, curses and slander, and foul mouth abuse, and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old man, that self with its evil practices. Or have you? Because it's a continual battle. It's not going to happen overnight. You have to continually fight against that old man. It's going to be a battle. It's not easy. He's going to rise up. Because Paul said, when I attempt to do good, evil was right there. When you go to doing something, somebody will come in there and get on that last nerve. On that last nerve. That's testing your patience. That's testing your faith. Don't get angry. Bible says, be angry and sin not. See, but you get to a point where you don't let those things even make you angry. I'll be talking sometime and some people go off into a rage, a foul mouth and everything. That tells me about your spirituality when you stomp your toe or somebody hits you or do you something and that bad word come out there. That was your pressure point right there. What's in a man will come out. That's what defiles you. Your heart still needs work. If when somebody do you something, that curse word come out. He just helped encourage you. You should get yourself somewhere and pray because it shouldn't be sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. You know, you can't do both. So that has to be put to death. That old man, that carnal part of us. He who comes after me, he says, must hate mother, father, sister, brother, and his own life. That's when you start seeing yourself for what you are, who you are. And who you are. Because you have to look at the way you used to be and say, I used to be bad. Now, if you fool yourself and say, well, I ain't that bad after all, you still had repentance. You're not putting off the old man. You're a Moabite, and you love being a Moabite. The flesh loves itself, and it's going to make excuses for itself. You have to see yourself as the worst of persons. And you have to see that once you baptize into Christ, you're a new creation. You have to put that old self off and walk in a different way. With a different step. People will have to notice that difference. Your loyalty is going to have to lie somewhere else than with Christ. That's why he said, who is my mother, father, sister, brother, but those that do the will of my Father? Those that was in the house with him following his word was the same as his sister, father, and brother, and mother. Those that do the will of God, that's your true family. Because this is not real. This physical is not real. The spiritual is what's real. Sometimes, if we still can heard of the word nepotism, in other words, showing favor to our family of people that's close to us that we're familiar with. And sometimes that could be the worst devil of all. That's why a lot of people don't understand in the scripture when God says in the Old Testament about it, your child is rebellious and disobedient and everything, that the father and the mother first hands should be first on him, and they should stone him to death. That's tragic, ain't it? That's really a tragic one. But listen at this. God used the Old Testament as an example. Those laws are there, and we see how desperate it is, or desperate a fight this is we in. Now that's hyperbole. So don't nobody go stone your son to death. Don't go kill him. Don't go kill your relatives and things, because that's what we are here. That's what the preacher and the teachers and things here in the Spirit does, lead you and guide you in all truth. That was metaphorically. In other words, that was a type and a shadow. What we should do, just like when Jesus Christ was speaking, say, if you eye offend thee, it's better to pluck it out. If your hand offend thee, it's better to cut it off. In other words, you have to deal drastic or harshly with sin. If you know your children doing something wrong and they're bringing that drug money into the house or whatever, you have to deal harshly with that. Just because that's your children or your sister or somebody you know, you can't deal with that. And just if it was somebody else, you would deal more harshly. If it was somebody else, you would. Listen to this in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the first chapter and the fourth verse. Ahab was an evil king. He was wicked, and he had married Queen Jezebel. And he had called Jehoshaphat to come down and talk with him. And see, that's why I say we have to watch who we married and watch who we're getting close to. Well, Jehoshaphat's son had married into that family, into Ahab's family. So they're relatives now. They're sitting around at the family reunion talking. 2 Chronicles 18th chapter in the 1st and the 4th verse. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he married into the family of Ahab. At the end of some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab slaughtered a great amount of sheep and oxen for Jehoshaphat and those who journeyed with him, and they lured him up to Ramah Gilead. That's that seduction. That's a Moabite to lure you. So, like I say, that seduction, that's the corruptive factor. And it's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with meeting with family, but you have to beware all the time. You have to be discerning. You have to be able to judge what's going on. Don't go around slumbering, because the devil has a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You have to be alert at all times. Peter, the flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we have to put it to death. The spirit keeps you alert. So he says, and King Ahab said of Israel, said to King Jehoshaphat, Judah, will you go up with me to Ramah Gilead? And he responded, I am as you are, and as your people also my people are. We will be with you in this war. And Jehoshaphat further said to the king, inquire today to the word of the Lord. Here it is. A man of God. God had prospered him. A lot of times you have stuff and people want to get with you, and y'all do things together. Watch who you're joining in business with. Watch who you're joining in endeavors with, and in marriage and in friendship with. He says, my people, okay, we're uncles and brothers and cousins and things. But God said, if they're a wrong person, they're wrong. If they do wrong, get away from them. Let them know where you stand. You got to tighten up or you won't be in here. You can put them out. If your children ain't going to act right in the house, you got to put them out. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. So that means if you wasn't following God, you had to get out of his house. If we're not going to follow the Lord, it's no use coming in here. It's no use coming in. You have to follow God. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow the letter of the law. The Spirit enables us to do. That's weak through the flesh. But he strengthens us through the Spirit to be able to keep the Sabbath. It's not harder to keep the Sabbath than it is to keep Sunday. It's the idea, do you want to obey God or not? Man. Crucify the flesh. You have to crucify the flesh, no matter how close it is to you. The battle and the vengeance all belongs to God. All that belongs to God. So, 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, the 15th, through the 22nd verse. It says, and he said, pay attention, all Judah and those dwelling in Jerusalem. What happened was, this guy came in and told Jehoshaphat, the 19th chapter of 2 Chronicles, in the 4th verse. 19th chapter of 2 Chronicles in the 4th verse. And that's why I say if we pray and talk with God, He warns us when we do things wrong. Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and God had sent a prophet in to tell Jehoshaphat that should you help those that hate the Lord, those that go against God, should you do for those people that are not following God, that make excuses for not following God? See, they continue to siphon things off you. They'll keep promising you that they're going to follow your God, that they're going to be with that God, but that's a ruse. Ahab was using a ruse because you could be blessed and the flesh will use you as long as it can. Your own people and friends and neighbors and things will use you to do what they want you to do, but they're never going to follow your God. They'll make you think that they're going to follow. We're going to come. We're going to worship with you. They're not going to follow God. They will make you think that they walk in your way. And that's what he did. So this prophet rebuked him. But God had sent some enemies against Jehoshaphat because he was walking around with the wrong ones. He had sent them to war against Jehoshaphat. He had got lifted up because Jehoshaphat, a child of God, was helping the wrong people. You help the wrong people, God will come against you. He'll come against your health. He'll come against your finances. Some people marry the wrong women, run with the wrong crowd. You end up like Samson, blind with your eyes put out, pushing down a pillow, killing yourself. Samson was a man of God. God had got Samson to destroy the Philistine. He was strong, but a woman brought him down, brought him to the point where they put out his eyes, gouged out his eyes. And Samson said that he was going to push them pillars down. He let my enemies die with me. I don't want to die with my enemies. I don't want to die with nobody. I don't want to die no more. That's why I crucify the flesh daily. So in this flesh battle, I'm going to stand up to my enemies and say, no, not so. See, that's the ones that's fighting the battles, that not allowing the enemies to carry them along. Don't walk with them, because they're going to get you all in trouble and chaos. So there was still some good in Jehoshaphat, but these people came to war against Jehoshaphat, and they had him surrounded. All the relatives came around, all of Moab, Ammon, the same relatives that was eating at your house telling you this and you doing all these secrets with them, came to kill him. It was more of them. It's more out in the world than it is with us. But God don't want us to be afraid. So, the 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, the 15th verse, and he said, pay attention, all Judah, those dwelling in Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear, nor be dismayed because of this great army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Spirit will lead and guide you in all truth. The Spirit's going to tell you, this is not your battle you fight. This is God's battle. Don't go out there fighting with them with carnal weapons. I told them Wednesday night that God's going to teach us how to war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual power and wickedness. So we might have to win this battle on our knees praying. We might have to win this battle just singing and singing psalms and hymns in our heart. We might have to win this battle praying for our enemy. But don't be scared. Don't be confused. Don't be all trouble. You didn't got yourself in a fix. The only one who can get you out that fix is God, though. He's the only one who can get you out the fix. You had stopped destroying Moab. You let your guards down, and Moab was in you. It's in your flesh. He says, the Spirit's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. The 16th verse says, tomorrow go down against them. They will travel up by the ascent of Zin. You will find them at the back of the alley before the wilderness of Jeruel. It will not be necessary for you to fight in this conflict. Take your position, stand, and observe the deliverance of the Lord for you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be filled with terror. Tomorrow go out before them, and the Lord will be with you. God be with you, who can be against you? Notice he's always still telling us to just stand still, and the Lord will fight our battles. He told them to stand still at the Red Sea and watch the salvation of God. But don't be lazy. Now, standing still ain't just standing still all the time. There's a lot of people that don't want to work. You know, God said he's going to give me this. Well, you do have to get out there in that sun sometime and go to work. You can't just lay up there and get entitlements and say God's going to do this and God's going to do that. The birds, they have to get up off them limbs and go down in the weeds and things and search for the food. See, some people don't want to work. That's a sin also, slothfulness. That's carnality. Waiting for somebody to give you something. The Bible says a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. So get them churn out that house and say, look, if you can't work, you need to... Don't just give away things God had blessed you with. You make sure that they carry the standards of God. Our work as presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. 18th verse says, then Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all Judah and those dwelling in Jerusalem fell before the Lord to worship him. And the Levites from the descendants of Korathites and Korites rose up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. So they rose up early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and listened and said, listen to me, Judah, and those dwelling in Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be supported. That's the key. Believe in God. If he tell you he going to support you, do the work he told you to do and he's going to support you. Don't you worry about it. You let God take care of all that. Don't you get all roused up. You just do what God told you to do. They went out singing like they wasn't nothing on their mind. When somebody cursing you and talk about it, sing to the Lord. Praise God. Because it's all in his hands. I don't have to go choke and strangle this at you. My blessing's coming. I didn't do the work. Now, if you don't pay me, God will collect for me. Does God collect teeth for you and give it to you in due time? Just when you think you can't make ends meet, there comes somebody. You know, I thought about it. I owed you. I never did pay you this. Huh, look, there's a little bit extra for me keeping it so long. Here's a little bonus for because you wasn't going to even say nothing about it, huh? No, I wasn't worried because it's in God's hands. But if you worry around that word about this and worry, Jesus says, see that you be not worried. Don't let man get to the point where he worry you, because some people, when they say they could worry you, that's all they're going to do is worry. Every time you see something, they're going to be calling you with some pity. What are you going to do? Because they always come in there with some pity. They worry you to death. They don't never want to start doing like they're supposed to do. So we just should praise the Lord. But like I say, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not by our strength. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord destroyed these people. The Spirit of the Lord, like I say, a lot of parents, and it's tragic. You hate to see it. You hate to see a lot of death and destruction. But a lot of these people that are taken out in life, you didn't kill them. You didn't do this to them. But God strengthened you to make it through that because you know that God's in control. That's the way that happened, had to happen. Because, like I say, you have to love all your relatives and people no matter what their faults and failures. That brother was closer to me. But sometimes you have to call a spade a spade. If you know somebody that's, you know... Some of the children coming up, my mama said, well, let me lock this up because I know he got a habit of putting his hands on something he don't supposed to put his hands on. So when somebody come there and say, your son stole this, he did that. Okay, I kind of understand that because he steal from me. Who knows that children steal from you? Your own children will steal from you. Don't say what a person won't do or will do. All that's in God's hand. But you fighting all these things, that's what's called forbearing and long suffering. You got a son or a daughter, she might not want to work. But that's your son or daughter. You can't starve them to death. The Bible says if a man shouldn't work, don't work, he shouldn't eat. But you're going to let your son starve to death? He's just lazy. I just have to accept him as being lazy. And you will keep praying to God for God to help him turn his life around. I get him out there to work. He with me. He don't want to work. So I know what the other boss was saying. He ain't going to work. Nobody fights. So we have to forbear. We have to be long-suffering. We have to put up with our rough. If God's going to take care of them, let God deal with the things as God does. See, we try to be too much like God. We try to, in other words, we want to be judgmental. Only God can judge. He the only one knows all the factors. So we should love them, those our children, our relatives or whatever. If you can help them, help them. Sooner or later, he'll get rid of that weight. He says, laying aside every weight and sin that's besetting us. I'm not going to finish this today. I'm going to have to finish it next week. But what's going to happen is God's going to take away the burden. But as long as it's there, he's going to make it you able to bear it. That trouble that they got in, he's going to give you a few dollars or something more to where you could sustain that. Because that's why he has you here. You don't never stop doing what God tells you to do. That's why you want to be led by the Spirit so he can tell you how to deal with that wayward son, how to deal with that wife, how to deal with that husband, how to deal with the employer, how to deal with your neighbor, how to deal with these people. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is death and destruction. So we have to lean on the Lord, lean on his understanding, because our thoughts are not like his thoughts and our ways are not like his ways. So we have to put to death what we want to do. As Paul said, sometime I want to do this, but I don't do what I want to do. You have to do what the Lord say do. That person, you might want to tear him in half. But the Lord's justice is better. Vengeance is mine, he said. I'll repay. So you do what God tell you to do. Don't do what you want to do. There was once a time I would go and beat that money out of you. See, that's the man we want to put to death. We don't even want to be thinking like that no more. We don't want those thoughts to come in our mind. Well, you know, I was used to would con that out you. I'd come and con that back out you. Well, we can't inherit the kingdom of heaven if we're going around conning. We can't go around, oh, he wouldn't say that to me as I was young because I wouldn't take that. Well, as I got older, I learned that. Don't care what nobody say about you. Your parents told you sticks and stone may break your bone, but words never hurt you. So when they was cursing David, David said, well, the Lord beat him to curse me. Let him curse me. See, you don't get so riled up. Nowadays we get so riled up with people. We can't make them not curse us. All we can do is take it. They curse Jesus. They rail on him. So we have to start crucifying that old person we used to be and become a new creation in Christ. We have to. That's our work. That's why I say we have to do some work. And our work is to do what God's words say do. We see the Republican Party in there now. They're fighting. You notice that they're kind of bumping one another off. They keep talking about one another. That's how Moab did in this battle, if you read the rest of that. When the people came up, they didn't have to fight in the battle. They had killed one another. That's one thing about a crook. A crook don't trust another crook. He don't trust nobody. He don't even trust himself. So these guys fighting against themselves. But I noticed in the prayer today that's what I want y'all to be like. As Brother Parker, I pray for the president. Because God said, pray for the leaders of your country. That it be peace in your country. But notice he was praying for our governor. He prayed for the mayor. You pray. See, that's a bad state of mind. I hate him. I ain't going to pray for him. Oh, your prayer is that powerful. If you pray for him and God got something else in mind, God's got to do what you say do? Or should you do what God's telling you to do and God's going to do what he's going to do? God's sovereign. He's going to do what he wants you to do. But he just wants to see is you going to do what he tells you to do. So just because you pray for somebody, that don't mean it's going to end up the way you think it is. Because, you know, a lot of people are not, they're scratching their head because they don't understand. Say, if your enemy thirsts, give him a drink of water. If he's hungry, you feed him. But the next scripture after that, the next verse says, by thus doing, you'll heap coals upon his head. Hold on. What do you mean giving him something condemns him? See, because by being nice to them, that's why it says you'll know that I am the Lord. But by being nice to them, in that day of judgment, what are they going to have to say against you? Before God. No, they can't accuse you of doing nothing wrong. They treated you as a brother. They never hated you. They never did you this or did that. They have ought to say against you. And they will have to confess he's a better man than I am. Anybody ever came up to you after an argument or after something went on and say, man, I'm sorry about that or whatever. And you ain't even get mad at me. You ain't do this. You know you're a better man than I am. Anybody ever told you that? Because you took the right stand? That's what God's looking for, to get glory out of this. He wants to give you the chance to bring the world, if you would live this way, you would bring and cause all men to look unto Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Man. See, but don't lift yourself up. Yourself is deceptive. See, and that's what happens. Don't fight against these denominations. I tell you, I don't wrestle over anybody over the Sabbath. I don't wrestle about what holidays or what you're doing. That's why we got denominations and things. Because if somebody else is preaching a different doctrine, they're going to have to give account to God for that, not me. See, Lot, when he went to Sodom, he must have got under a different religion, a different denomination. See, because they start believing in the god Chemosh and Molech. That's who the Moabites worship. How do you switch gods? The Bible asks, is there ever heard of a person switching gods? They came from the same family. How do you worship that God? So, I mean, God's not talking to you. Now, remember Moab. Moab are the people that they shouldn't have to worry, because God was making provisions for them when they wasn't even had any knowledge of God. Because when the Israelites was coming from, headed to the promised land, he says, don't go through there, because your brothers, the Moabites, stay there. Don't go across their land or argue or mess with them, because I'm not going to give you any of their land. Those are your brethren. See, God provides for you while somebody's trying to curse you. They're out there hiring Balaam to curse them, and God's already told them, don't fool with them, because I'm watching over them. They thought Israel would eat up their food and stuff. Just like they, against immigration and things, think the people would eat up their food and things. He said, well, you was a stranger, I took care of you. You always take care of the stranger. Well, they wasn't going to eat up the Moabites' food, because God was supplying bread from heaven for them. God was supplying manna for them. Jesus was following them, that rock, the spiritual rock. He was providing their water. Sometimes you don't want nothing from people, and people attribute a bad motive to you, a bad intention, and all you're doing is trying to help. It's a lot of times you done tried to help somebody. You helping this woman or this guy or something. And somebody then say, oh, he like her. He doing a sexual problem. So that's their mind thinking like that. Their mind's in the gutter. Hello. Because with the deacons and the churches and things, they're going to say, well, help the widows. Help the older people. Help the young. Help the fatherless. But people will contribute bad to you. That he must be going with her. He's helping her do this, and he get helping their family doing that. No, God told you to help people. You be a father to the orphans. You be a husband to the widows. That's being Christ, because he said, I was a husband to the widows. That guy that I sent over there to help you, instead of you seeing God and then coming to the church and worshiping God, you tried to seduce him and take him away from his wife, and he was doing good. You was in the flesh. Now, you done took him away from his wife. That's ungodly. You know, a lot of times, people take strength for weakness. When you try to help people, they'll take advantage. That's why I said sometimes you have to deal drastically with the flesh. You have to say, well, look, I can't help you no more, because this is the way you think. This is what you're doing. And you act and get off at. Sometimes people will think just because you're a Christian, well, you may y'all loan me $5, you're a Christian. Oh, now that you said that, you won't get nothing. If you'd have asked me for this and told me that, maybe, but you trying to tell me my obligations. See, a solved answer turning away wrath. It's according to how you ask somebody, you mightn't get anything out of them. It's how you approach me. See, you got to put off that old thuggish image. You got to put off that attitude that I owe you something. That's Moab. We have to destroy Moab. But see, as Brother Parker said earlier, right here is where if we're not doing that work, it's people right now today, you might have to tell how it is and how it ain't. But you can't go out there fighting this in the flesh. You hear what I'm telling you? Because just because I said this, you still have to be guided and led by the Spirit of God. See, because that may not be the way to do it at that time. Sometimes it's best to be quiet. It's a lot of people, like I told you, I go pick up and they be saying this about God and this and that. They don't even know I'm a preacher. I don't even be to say anything about it. I'm talking about something else because what's the point? You don't see anything. I done told you several times. I'm not fit to start an argument with you. And I'm not fit to agree with you religiously about what you're talking about because you ain't a Christian. I don't talk religion to people that's not a Christian that's trying to get me to talk religion because we'll start saying, well, we all serve Christ. No, you in that church, and the reason you in that church, I'm in this church, we serve God differently. And I'm not going to compromise on the God I serve. You have to be able to stand your line, but don't go leave out here right now and somebody go talk against the Sabbath. Don't let that happen. See, because God's testing you. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved and walk uprightly. Sometimes, like I say, some people you might have to walk away from. Some people you might have to stand there and tell how it is. But the only way you can be doing that is being spirit-led. Not by the flesh. Some people I loan money. Some people I don't tell money. Loan money. But only God can lead you and guide you. The Spirit leads you and guides you in all truth. Don't think you can do it. God has to do it through you. I don't have to make this a part two coming up. Because, like I say, we have to understand that there's balance to this. So I'll end with telling you about Lot in case I don't see you next week. Lot was a self-centered, carnal Christian. And you know, that's what the people say today about carnal Christians. They call themselves carnal Christians. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian. In other words, you're in Christ or you're not in Christ or you're not complete in Christ. You don't want to be like Lot. Like I said, the same way Lot was, his children was. And the apple didn't fall far from the tree with their grandchildren. But see, Lot, the Bible does say righteous Lot. And this could be a part of my conclusion. And then it talks about it in Corinthians. All your works will be tested. Be careful how you build. These 30 or 40 years or how long you've been cutting grass, that works could be tested. Every man's works could be tested. Now, if you've been building with wood, stubble, or hay, all that's going to be burned up. And at the end, you may be like Lot. Lot only escaped out of all. He had so many possessions that him and Abraham had to separate. They couldn't dwell together. They couldn't dwell. They were so rich, they had to separate. He said, you go this way, and I'll go that way. But in the end, this how he was a righteous man. Peter said, righteous Lot. But notice that Lot only left the city with the clothes on his back. He had to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost his wife. He had incense with his children because he allowed his drinking to get to him. His moral, I don't drink with my sons and daughters. I'm not their friend. I'm not their buddy. I'm there to teach them in the ways of God. See, when you lower yourself to where you teach and playing with your children, you play with a puppy, he's going to lick your hand. He may bite you. You have to keep that line of respectability. You go to drinking, somebody will curse one of them or say something or lose. Drinking is an inhibitor. And it relaxes you, and you will say things you shouldn't say and say, well, I was kind of under the influence. Don't let nothing but the Spirit influence you. Be under the influence of the Spirit. So when you tell your children something, you mean it. When God told, the angels told Lot, go in and get your children out. Lot went in and told, y'all get up, come on. And it's a bad thing today that some men is a moron in their family. In other words, they thought Lot was mocking and being funny. They didn't pay attention to him. You know, he had more daughters and sons than those two that escaped. Those two younger ones were the only ones that were left behind. They didn't listen at the old man. He didn't have their respect. That's what the wife was looking back at. She had lost stuff in the world. Forget the old man. Forget the world. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. She was looking back because she. It's hard to leave your children. It's hard to leave all you done worked and labored for. But Jesus told them the same thing. Hope that this thing don't end on a Sabbath day. He said, if you're up on the house, don't go back in. If you're in the field, don't go back. You flee for your life. That stuff is not that important. You can't look back. He says, you're not worthy to follow me if you take hold to the fire and look back. So Lot's children, all of them didn't follow Lot. Lot left there with just his children, two daughters, and his wife. And he lost a wife. She was disobedient. She looked back. But see, if you build with wood, stubble, or hay, you'll be saved as by fire. So if you've been at work joking with the people that work with you, cursing and going on and living any kind of way, if you're at your house and you're allowing people to do all these things, all that's wood, stubble, and hay, you're not going to have anything. You'll be saved, maybe, but you won't have anything because you wasn't a person that walked in integrity. You wasn't a person that walked every day displaying the kingdom of God. They didn't know that you was a Christian. They didn't know about your religion because you were just as carnal as they was. That's why they didn't follow your God, because they didn't see a difference between you and them. I open this up with the people saying that you're just like us. Everywhere you go, people are trying to prove that you're no different than they are. Tell me that. When people try to find you out that you're a Christian, don't they say and compare you and say, if you're a Christian, you'll do this. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. They're always judging you. So you have to be aware. All eyes will be on you. Is that church changing you? I'm not going to let you be able to blame it on the church. I'm going to be told you so I don't have your blood on my hands. I warn you that you can't live like the people in your house. You can't live like the people on your job. You can't live like the people that live around you. You got to live different, and they got to know it's a sharp edge to that word. That's what the finish is going to be about. It's a sword. It's, the word is like a double-edged sword. It cuts. It'll cut back and forth. It'll cut all kinds of ways. Don't take the sharp edge off of God's word. The preacher's taking the sharp edge out of God's word now, and they don't respect the church. They don't respect nothing or nobody else. And they're on television making jokes about the church, making jokes about the preacher, making jokes about your religion. There's nothing funny about this. You're not even as strong as the Muslims. Most Christians not even strong as the Muslims. They worry about it in the United States talking about, why would they kill us for making fun of the Prophet Muhammad? We say what you want to do. You keep saying what you want to say and drawing these cartoon characters, it'll get you killed. Those people serious about their religion, when you go to talk about their God, they'll blow you up. They'll kill you and them. But are you that serious, or are you just saying this? Well, I got something to do this morning. I can't go to church. The Bible says, forsake not to assemble together yourselves. It's your responsibility to go to church. See, we're not dedicated as those people. You call them an idiot. You have to be a fool for Christ. You his bondservant. But we're not serious about our religion. We have that on television, that all these senators and things. And we got a man that they probably elect governor next year, and he's an adulterer. He committed adultery. And this is supposed to be the Bible Belt. But is it a racial Bible Belt or what? All these things happening, where is religion? Religion enters into your secular, your civil life. It's your life. It's not just Saturday or Sunday morning. It's just not when you go to church. Religion is out there. This is just a preparation to go out there and fight the battle. You're not here on Wednesday nights praying on your knees, getting strength. You're not here on Wednesday nights studying the Word. You're not here on Saturday morning hearing the Word. If you don't eat, you're not going to be able to fight. If you don't eat, you're not going to be strong. And going without the Word makes you weak. Going without the Spirit, you cannot fight the battle. Heavenly Father,